So our today's session is related to opportunity exploitation. And at the end of the session, while sitting here or watching this lecture online, you will be able to, at the end of the session, you will be able to recap some of the earlier concepts, what we discussed in the previous session, external enablers, new venture idea, opportunity evaluation. But we will touch upon them very briefly just to give us a ground for our today's session, which is related to opportunity exploitation. And mainly after the session, you should be able to understand what is opportunity exploitation and what are different ways for the opportunity exploitation. So we will have different frameworks which we can use to understand the opportunity exploitation, but we will not discuss. I will share with you all of them, but for the purpose of this course, we will just focus only on one framework, because I want these things to be very simple for you. But I have shared in the slides, if somebody want to do some extra research or want to read more about those frameworks, so you can read about that. But mainly, we will be just focusing on one key framework to understand how opportunity exploitation actually happens. Without any further delay, I think we can get started. So a quick recap from the earlier session. If you remember, in session number 5 and also partly in session number 6, we discuss about this Davidson's 2015 framework. And there we mainly discussed about three key concepts. They were external enablers, new venture idea identification, and this opportunity confidence. And now we are at the part where we are at the action part. So what is this? So if you look at external enablers, so these three concepts. So what we discussed in the external enablers? Can somebody share? Just a quick recap. Yep. If you can speak in the mic, that would be nice.
External enablers are things that the entrepreneur can't control that affect their success or their work that they're working on. And they can be social, technological, or political changes.
Excellent. Thanks a lot. So basically, in the external enablers, we discussed environmental factors are the external factors, which includes political, social, cultural, demographic, and other factors. How they impact the process of new venture creation, how they impact entrepreneurial process, or how they impact process of new idea identification, opportunity exploitation. And then we discussed about the scope and mechanisms through which these external enablers impact those kind of activities. And we also had a framework there. The other important concept we discussed was, so I'm not going into detail again, but this is important just to give you a background for opportunity exploitation. After that, we discussed about new venture ideas. And new venture ideas, we focused on this concept of imaginary combinations. These two words are very important, imaginary combinations. So we have an involvement of imagination of home, imagination of entrepreneur, imagination of other actors, or imagination of a person who is identifying some idea. And what is the imagination? Sorry. They imagine about new product services. They imagine about what could be the new markets or new customers. They can imagine about means of bringing these offerings into existence. So basically, they can imagine three things. One is new products and services. The second one is new markets going to some other markets. And the third one is means. That is the resources part they can imagine. So that's related to new venture idea. So when you have the new venture idea, Then it goes to the third stage, which is the opportunity confidence. So when you have confidence in something, so confidence again in which? Confidence in offerings, confidence in markets, ability for the new market. So here, how that confidence can be developed, it's based on the evaluation. And what do you evaluate? When you evaluate a new venture idea, you basically evaluate it on two factors that we discussed. One was feasibility, different types of feasibilities, and then the other one is the desirability. So some ideas could be feasible, but they are not desirable. Some ideas could be desirable, you might want to do them, but they are not feasible. So they were the three important concepts of new venture creation process, what we discussed in the previous session. So continuing from there to our today's session, what is opportunity exploitation? So we have the opportunity confidence. We have developed that confidence that is relevant to the creation of new economic activity. We have the confidence that we can sell new products, develop new products, new markets, or new combinations. And we can create some economic activity. We can create some business value out of it. So we are confident on that. When we are confident, what is the next step? So the next step is the opportunity exploitation. But in order to understand opportunity exploitation, I think first of all, it's important to briefly understand what does the word exploitation means. So what is the word exploitation? What do you think? Okay, so let's go to the dictionary, Cambridge, and see what does exploitation means. So basically, exploitation is use of something in order to get an advantage. So these two words are important here because all discussion about opportunity exploitation will be built on these two things. So one is use of something. So it means that individual is using something. What is that something? And then to get an advantage. Advantage for what? So if you look at some of the examples, which I have included in this slide, you can use your time to complete a class project. So what you are using here, you are using time, your time. For what? For completing your class project. Then you can use your network. That is another example. You can use your friends and family. You can use your other professional networks to gain information about a future job. So you want a job and you can use your network to get information about the job. You can use technology, which is, for example, PowerPoint slides, PowerPoint program, software, application, to prepare for a presentation. So it gives us an example of how we use something to take advantage for something. But generally, if we look at the word exploitation, what comes to our mind? Is it something positive or negative? Negative. So generally, if you look, it has some negative connotation. Why? If you look at that negative connotation, the act of using someone unfairly for your own advantage. So these are some of the examples. You can force your employees to work overtime, but you are not paying something extra. You are using your partner for money, but not really you are, caring about your partner or your friends. So these are some of the negative examples, but generally the word exploitation should not always mean that it is negative. So in the entrepreneurship world, it is used positively to at the time when you have identified some opportunity and you want to take actions to make that happen. So that is the exact idea of the opportunity exploitation. So based on this, these two, I think you have correctly understood these two things. So you are using something and you want to take some advantage. That will take us to the next stage. So building on that, if you see, okay, What is opportunity exploitation? So we can look at the formal definition of opportunity exploitation. Opportunity exploitation refers to building efficient full-scale operations. So that is what you want to achieve. But how for new products and services created by to derived from a business opportunity? So you identified an idea. You identified maybe, you can say it an opportunity now, maybe from external enablers or by your own imagination, you came across an idea. And after that idea, you evaluated that idea on feasibility and desirability. And it was all positive. And now you want to build up a business out of it. So that is the opportunity exploitation. But now the question is, how can we do it? That is exactly what we are going to discuss in our today's session. And at the end of the session, you should have fairly a better idea of opportunity exploitation. But one thing you should remember is that when we shift focus from exploitation, exploration to exploitation, it's a significant focus. In that way that we are taking actions to build operations, to buy resources, to buy machinery or other things. But I don't want to go so much details into that point at this stage. But also remember that in the previous slide, I just mentioned about operations. But when you are exploiting an opportunity, it's not always that you are creating a new organization or you are creating a new business. It can be just to create a new product. You want to create a new, is that not opportunity exploitation? You have identified a new market opportunity in some other country and you want to exploit it. That is also an exploitation example. So there are different things, there are different ways to exploit an opportunity, but our main focus will be on a new way of organizing. That is the building of a new business, building of an organization to avail the opportunity and make it, you know, sustainable, to make it a proper business. How can we do that? That is the focus of our discussion. But before that, we have a short case study that you can read this case study, a short case situation, and then you can answer a couple of questions. So it's a small case study where Adil is a person. He grew up in a rural village and he has a first-hand experience. He has been watching small farmers in remote areas. They have been struggling with the poor yield. Crop yield. And why was that? Because they did not have enough weather information. They did not have information about soil. They did not have information about modern techniques. When he was studying at university, he came across a sensor technology which was affordable and some AI tools that can be combined together to for this solution. He discussed with another classmate. One of them was from the software background, the other one was from business background. They discussed together and developed a kit. What that kit was doing, it was giving simple soil sensors, which gives weather alerts when the rain is gonna come, or it also helps in crop planning, seeds and other things. Their goal is to help small farmers make better decisions and increase their productivity. That is the whole idea. They have tested that idea. So if you look at the first part, you see that they look at the problem that was external enablers. They came up with an idea. They developed the idea. They tested the idea. And now they are confident that that idea worked. And the next problem is they have tested the idea in two villages and received encouraging feedback. Now they are thinking about scaling this across the region, across their country, or maybe at later stage to some other countries and eventually the country. But they realize to make this work at scale, they will need to create a formal organization. Did you understand the case study? So what you need to do is, what do you think? You can open this link as usual, what we do, and answer these two questions. In your opinion, what will Adil and his team need to take full advantage of this opportunity? What must they put in place to build a scalable, functioning organization that can deliver this service to thousands of farmers? Thousands of farmers, not only to villages, maybe later on hundreds of thousands, or maybe later on millions, because the solution is there. So now you need to build up the organization. So what is your opinion? You can open this link and let's see what is there. Excellent. I think we have enough material now to move to the next stage. So if you look at, you know, these two columns, you will notice certain points here. For example, if you see, I don't know whether you can read it or not, but if you see, you have mentioned about money, which is the financial resources. So you think that they will definitely need more financial resources to make that happen. They need to improve their software, because when they will be to different places, different countries, and they really need to test it properly, and it will also, how can they improve that software? They will need human resources, and they will need many other types of resources there. Then they, some of you mentioned about marketing strategy. Marketing strategy for whom? That is for the customer. So you also have that customer's aspect here. And some of you mentioned about strategy. What is strategy? Strategy is to achieve the goals, your goals, strategic goals. So you think that they also need to have the strategy. They are all right elements, correct elements. But it brings us to that point where, you know, it becomes very important. These are some of the scattered things. But now it brings us to the question, are there some interesting frameworks which can help us to organize in a better way, to develop this organization in a better way, or to understand this organization or these scattered elements in a much better way? So after doing a lot of research, many of these frameworks which I shortlisted, they were not in entrepreneurship books. They were from different sources. But I thought it's very important to share with you, but do not discuss all these frameworks because it will be really complicated and it's beyond the scope of this course. So we will discuss only one, not all of them, but I have listed most of them. So to me, it seems like these are five frameworks which can help you understand this organizing part. And all of these frameworks have their own plus and minuses. Some are good at one point and the other one could be helpful for the other parts. But mainly we will be, there is STAR model, lean startup approach, which is very famous. There is a book about lean startup. I have shared that book, PDF of that book also in Moodle. Effectuation theory, there is a website I have given reference at the end of the PowerPoint slides if you want to read more about effectuation theory. And maybe in some coming sessions, we may have some time to discuss some of these frameworks a bit more. Design thinking is another approach to do it than business. But we will be discussing this business model canvas. That is the only framework what we will discuss in our rest of the time in today's session. But this is the STAR model. I am not going to discuss it at all because it will, you know, take so much time. But this is one way to organize a business. Then we have this lean startup approach. It has four steps, so they are also helpful. Then we have this effectual process, which explains how businesses are developed and organized over time. When entrepreneurs, they interact with different people. Again, we are not going to discuss this one, at least in our today's session. Design thinking is another way to look at this organizing, but as we want to keep it simple, we will just be discussing about business model canvas. So how many of you know about business model canvas before? You know it. Oh, okay, so we have only one person who knows it. You know, if you look at this business model canvas, And now if we go back to that that Google sheet which you filled. So you in the Google sheet, you talked about marketing strategy. Okay? So that was about customers. You talked about financial resources. And if you look at here on the right-hand side, you will see these three boxes there. They seems to be related to customers. Customer segments. What is the segment? Who is going to be your customer? Whether some females, male, rich, poor, people in a particular city, in a country, international, organizations, who is going to be your customer? For I'm not going to the same example, but that is one important thing which you can write here. Who is going to be your customer of your business? If you write the details of your customer in this box, it will give you a better understanding. Then channels, what will be the channels that will be used to serve these customers? We will discuss a bit more detail about these. Then how will you manage your relationship with the customers? What is the value for this customer of your product and service, what you are offering? It can be written down here. What are the key activities which needs to be done in order to create this value for this customer through these channels and to maintain these customer relationships? What will be the resources that will be needed to perform these activities, to make other parts of the canvas happen? Are you going to do that alone? Or do you need some other partners? Where those partners will be, in the same country, international? How those relationships will be developed? That's also important. Then what will be the cost? Cost of resources. Cost of doing activities. Cost of these channels. Cost of doing marketing, relationship management. All these costs needs to be considered. Then revenue streams, how much this customer is willing to pay for this value. So if you see that most of the things you mentioned in the Google Sheet, they somehow, you know, fall into one of these elements. Is it so? Is there anything you mentioned there in the Google Sheet which doesn't fall into any of these elements? Is there? Okay, can you speak in the mic?
When someone mentioned the target market or pitching the idea to farmers, that could be like channels or customer relationships, maybe.
Target market, this is exactly related to these customer segments. What is your target market? So it comes here. Pitching of the idea to whom? If it is being pitched to customers, it will come here. And if it is being pitched to investors, this will come here. You need financial resources. So in that, the activity will be pitching of the idea. So that pitching of the idea to get these financial resources. So you need financial resources to develop some product and service. And for that, you need to pitch the idea. That is the activity what you need to do. And that activity will attract more financial resources. And when you will get that financial resources, for example, you have got 100,000 euros of funding, then you need to decide how to allocate that 100,000. How much of this will go to get new employees? How much of this will go to buy on transportation means, coordinating transportation means? How much of this will go to customer relationship management? That will all go into the cost structure. And how much you expect that the customers will be willing to pay when they will get that product or service, what you are building. So in that sense, you know, it's like, you know, a way to look at these activities and to way to look at all the things what we need to organize the business and putting them in the right boxes. But I think we can watch a short video and then we can talk more about these elements. And what is that? But before that video, you need to remember that organizational design is not something which is, you know, just something lying in the stone. It's not written in the stone. It changes over time. So when you have are at the start, you may be only two people. When you are growing up, you may be 5, 20 in one market. So this organizational design, it keeps on changing. It's dynamic. So you continuously have to see from the business model canvas, what is the cost structure now? What is the idea now? What are the customers now? You may have multiple customers. So it may, you know, it starts getting more complicated. So you continuously need to see that business model canvas in order to understand properly what is the situation, what is the requirement, what is the situation of the, what situation demands are requires for the organizational design and what is the organizational design what we currently have. But let's just a minute, let me see. Ah, okay. I forgot. Okay, so this one we will see a bit later. This picture is very comprehensive. So it tells us all the things, but we will discuss more about this. But before that, let's watch a short video of the person who is the pioneer of this business model canvas, who developed this business model canvas, and he has long lectures also which are available on YouTube. But this is the short video which I selected, which we can watch, and then we can see the rest of the elements. We can dig more deeper into the elements of business model canvas. Are you able to hear? No. That's strange. I think I really don't know how the speakers will work, but maybe you can watch this video at home. I have included it in the PowerPoint slides, so that will give you a better idea from the person who is the pioneer into this. But any question until now, or any confusion? No? All clear? Okay, that's good. Nice. Happy Vapu. Nice weather outside. It's not time to be in the class, by the way. And also very difficult time of the day to be in class when it's sun outside, especially in Finland, after some cold days. Huh? At least it's my feeling. How are you feeling? Is it the same? Maybe sometime we can have class outside. Maybe we can sit near the lake and, you know, with the cup of coffee, and then we can discuss a business model canvas there. Or maybe that could be, by the way, an interesting idea to have some real canvas, you know, painting canvases there, and trying to figure out with some of the ideas there. Okay, that's a cool idea. I can keep thinking creatively about the coming cohorts, what different I need to do to have that. Okay. So with that we can see the different elements, and I'm not going to talk about them in detail now. So the first of the element was this customer segments. If you look here, so this is about customer segments, this part. So what are the customer segments? How do you decide about different customer segments for your business, whatever business you are doing? So you can decide them when you divide different customers into different groups. You can do it in different ways. For example, you can look at the income of different customers, and you can classify them into different groups. You can look at the gender of different people. You can look at age of different people. You can look at geography of different people. You can look at religion of different people. You can look at culture of different people. You can look how technologically savvy they are. So there are, you know, different ways to look at the customers and to divide those customers into different groups. But it is important because you are building a business, and your business cannot serve all the customers. You have to be laser focused. You have to be focused on some of the customers. And you have to identify which group of the customers will be most interested in the product or service what you are going to offer. And if you can write down those customers in one box, that will give you a better idea of the, it's not about idea you can see. It's not about venture idea. It's not no more about assessment. It's more about deeper understanding of one important aspect of the business, that is the customer. If there are no customers, no revenue is coming. No financial resources are coming. No business can survive without customers. So that's one way to look at it. And there are some points which I have included here, which can give you a better idea of how to segment customers into different groups. Got it? After customer groups, the second thing you need to figure it out is, when you have, what is the value? If you look at this box, it seems to be a gift box. What is inside it? And how much value that product is going to have for this customer who is looking at this box, rather staring at the box. He or she is staring at the box. Okay, is there something interesting for me in this box for which I can take out some money and I can pay for this? It can be few dollars, euros, or it can be hundreds of euros or dollars, or it can be more than that. So that is the value proposition. So the key concept in your mind, that should be value. How much value and what is the value I am going to create for that particular group of customers which you have selected? Just to give you example, if you have selected some product, for example, for female customers. So female customers who are in the high income category. So rich female customers. And now you are offering some product. So it has given you an idea that how, what value I am going to offer to this class of the customers. And that you can create in different ways. It can be product, it can be service, or there could be different ways. But these are, you know, some of the questions which you can ask yourself in order to better understand what is the value you are going to create for the customers. The third element is when you have decided, okay, I have a product, I have customers, but how, maybe, just to give you example, that product is sitting in China and your customers are in Europe, mainland Europe. You are a business person who is in Finland. So how that product or service is going to be delivered? What will be the channels? And who will invest into these channels? Whether those channels of communication or transportation, will you buy your own truck? Or will you contract with someone? How will the air traffic carriage will happen? So you need to, and whether you are going to sell on website, online, or you are going to open physical stores, or you are just going to give a service online, just like teaching, online teaching, or you can invite people to come to the class and have, you know, some interaction, have more, this kind of teaching. So again, it gives you an idea that you had target customers, you had a product, and now you want to create value for the customers. And now you are listing down what are the available channels, and you are evaluating those channels, and then you will make a decision that, okay, so this is the way we are going to sell our, this is the channel we are going to use to offer that value. Hope you get the idea, huh? So, it's not TV channel. These are other channels. But there could be TV channels also. Okay. So, from the channels, you can have a look at those slides. I am not going to discuss them in detail, but they are all those things what we have discussed. Your customer is convinced that this is something interesting for him or her. You have decided about the channels. After that, how you are going to maintain relationship with the customers? How is that going to happen? Will it be very personal? Will it be online? Have you bought something from Amazon? How is their customer service? Have you ever interacted with someone? So there is no, you know, they have decided that, okay, it's massive, millions of customers, so we cannot offer that one-to-one. But if you go to bank and you are a businessman, you want to get a loan from the bank, you will get a personal loan officer. So it's different for different types of businesses. But you have to understand that you need to maintain relationship with the customers. If you have good relationship with the customers and you are able to manage those relationships, that's another aspect which can give you an idea how to exploit in a business opportunity. I have included those here. You can see them. I hope it all makes sense. I like this lock. It's good. I have seen many of them in Turku on the river, Ora River. People lock them there. Okay. So these are different ways how we can maintain customer relationships. Dedicated personal assistance, it can be self-service, it can be automation, you can engage communities. You can engage customer communities into customer service. They can, you know, give opinions and share their opinions with other customers. That is another way to do customer service. Okay, so when you are done with these four, what is this? Revenue stream. How your customer is going to pay. How much your customer is going to pay. Is your customer going to pay online? Is your customer going to pay with cash? Is your customer going to pay in installments? How much your customer is going to pay? So this is the how much is going to be the pricing, how that revenue will change over time at the start and later on. But again, what is important here is, activating your mind when you are looking at this box. Activating your mind that now I am trying to understand the revenue, from where the revenue for my business is going to come. Because if you don't have revenue, if students are not paying fee, then the government is paying in Finland. But if government or students are not paying financial resources, universities can't run. So every business need to have revenue sources. And that need to be worked on from the start. You have target customers, you have valuable product and service, you have decided about the channels, you have decided about relationships, and now also you need to decide is the revenue streams. And with that, that is the customer side. If you look at most of these elements, what we have discussed until now, these five elements, they are primarily related to customers. And that is one, if you look at a business, so you have the customer side, and then you have the supply side, resources side. So you have complete, you have better understood the customer side. And when you have better understood the customer side, now you also need, somebody mentioned about SWOT analysis there. So it's about, you know, opportunities and external things and customers. And now you also want to understand your own resources and internal things. They are related to the other elements. And this is related to resources. I think we will just need maybe 5 to 10 more minutes. I know it's very difficult to, you know, sit in the class and listen to something. At least it's very difficult for me to sit in the class. And I really appreciate, you know, patience of you guys to watch these lectures and to come and sit in the class. It's great. I love this resilience and, you know, this learning. And I wish you all the best with your future plans. I wish you to have all the resources. Okay. So what do you think here? What is in your opinion? We have customer. We have channels. We have relationships. We have product and service. We have decided about revenue streams. But if we have not thought of the resources, what we need to make all that happen, what kind of resources we need? It depends on the business. You may need, definitely you need financial resources. But if you are manufacturing something, if you are manufacturing this bottle, you will need manufacturing plant. Or you need to work with some other companies or factories which are building these bottles. If you are developing a software, you don't need manufacturing plant. You need other resources. So what you need is you need technological resources. You need financial resources. You need human resources. How will you attract human resources? There will be, you know, all types of activities there. There will be all types of activities about that, pitching ideas to investors, getting funding. But all these things, again, when you are looking at the resources, you have triggered in your mind that now I want to list down all types of resources, what my business need, because I'm creating that business. And you can list down all those types of resources. That's another element. After listing down all the resources, the next important thing is, what are the key activities? Listing down activities 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Long list. That you need to do in order to make all this happen. In order to create this product. In order to deliver this product. To manage this customer relationship. To ensure this revenue happening. To acquire all these resources and to use all these resources. Now you are looking at the list of key activities. What are the key activities I need to do in order to get financial resources? I need to pitch an idea. In order to get technological resources, I need to hire technical people. In order to market to customers internationally, I need to have the marketing tools and right kind of human resources. And these are all the activities what you can list down, that these are the activities what I need to make all the things happen in the business. So how many elements we have discussed until now? 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many left? 2. 2 more. So we have 9 elements in the business model canvas. So we have discussed about 7. And what is going to be the 8th one? What do you think? What else we need in order to create a business? Activities we have done. We are done with the resources. We are done with the customer side. Do we need something else? If you are given these elements, can you create a business or do you need something else? Can I be confident that our entrepreneurship, future entrepreneurship entrepreneurs, they are given these 7 elements and they are given a complex task on the lake with some canvas to draw a business model? No, we need, you will see that we also need one more thing. You cannot do all the activities alone. You have to work with external partners. If you just, for example, if you look at this box here, from where this box will come, who will make, is it like you have your own setup where you are making the box and something what is inside the box? Or is it some other company? Where is that company? How that company will make that box that will fit the gift which is inside? How that collaboration will happen? What will be the materials? What will be the quality? How that company will deliver that box on time to you, so you can put, you know, that gift inside it and then you can dispatch it? So this is one. You may not have financial resources to do the business. Who will be the investor? Where will be the investor? Is he internal? No. He may be in some other place. How will you approach? How that interaction will happen over time? First month, second month, third month. And if one investor has not invested, how will you approach the other investor? How will you approach other people in the network? How will you develop that network? Got it? So you have to have that mindset when you are developing a business that it's not all internal. There are many things which are happening in the external environment and they can be very supportive to you and they can be not supportive to you. So you have to find right kind of partners with whom you need to work. Otherwise, there could be some mishaps. I had one big mishap of working with someone last year, which was big. So it can happen if you have that judgmental error of working with someone and then investing a lot of your time. But after that, ending up into a situation where that relationship has not worked. But it's very costly in business. You may end up, you know, having a business relationship with someone who is not trustworthy. But it's all going to impact all the way, value chain and everything, customers, relationships and everything. So we need, you know, that kind of mindset here. Okay? What is the last one? So when you have financial resources, you also need to think about the cost structures. How much money will be needed for these partners, for resources to perform these activities? So we have resources here. How much to these channels, relationships and everything? So basically when you are looking, sitting here, and you are looking at the organization which is here. Now you can see this all organization. This is basically, these are all blueprints. These are all the elements of the organization. We want to exploit an opportunity and this is giving us an idea how to do that. And with that, when you are looking at from the cost structure, now you are also looking from this angle that, okay, what is the most efficient way to do an activity? how much cost I can allocate to human resources, to financial resources, to channels and everything. So that's basically, you have that financial cap. Sometime you have that marketing cap here. Sometime you have that financial cap here. Sometime to have that operational activities, that cap on value, product development, that cap on. So you can understand that we have the product here, we have the market here, we have the resources side here covered. So it's a very comprehensive framework, and that was the reason I focused only on business model canvas and not the other framework. So if we can develop our skills and abilities to use one framework well, we can better understand the realities of the business, and that can enable us to better understand the opportunity exploitation in a much better way. So with that, I think we are done with the business model canvas. Do you have any questions or comments or further clarifications what you need?
I just want to clarify under which section we have marketing channels in these. We spoke about, you know, resources, distribution channels, etc. Is it under customer relationships? Is it under resources?
I think first I will need to ask from your colleagues, what do you think and what others think? Where should the marketing channels come? Here. Yes, no, it depends how you are classifying it. Some of the activities of marketing, if you are noting down what are the activities you need to do in marketing. So some of those activities, if they are key activities, then you can list them down. It's not like you cannot list down thousands of activities. So there are, you know, only possibility to list down key activities. So in order to achieve the goals of the business, what are the key activities you need? So I think those activities should be listed down in the section of key activities. If we will start listing all detailed activities, that will become too complicated. And mainly in that business model canvas on the right side, you can see that is the customer. So if you see here, this side is mostly about customers. And this side is mostly about the organizational aspect, resources and activities. So in that sense, I think that marketing channels, for example, you are using Instagram. You are using social media to maintain customer relationships. You are using YouTube. You are using personal means to give assistance to the customers. They may come in customer relationships. And these channels are basically the channels to deliver the value. They are not marketing channels. They are the channels to deliver the value. If it is a product, they are related to product. If it is a service, they are related to how the service will be delivered. So they are not marketing channels. So to me, it seems like they can come here in the customer relationships, or they can also, if you are listing down them as a key activities, so some of those actions or activities can also come here in the key activities. And then a customer relationship. But it's all, you know, your own judgment. On judgment, but it gives you a better, it gives you an idea like how to look at the organization. Otherwise, no framework is, you know, best. No framework can give us a comprehensive idea of, you know, arranging all the elements and doing everything. There are weaknesses into that. And I can, it's a very interesting question, and thanks for asking it. It's a bit complicated, I can imagine. Where to put it, marketing, because we are talking about customer relationships. It should be named differently, or whether it should be customer relationships or something else. So maybe customer relationships can go under it. And it can be something related to marketing activities. And there are large number of marketing things you need to consider. So perhaps business model canvas need to change, you know, some of the concept somewhere. We can come up, by the way, with our own canvas. It's not, I mean, what is important? Important is you want to create a business. And you want to create a business in a much better way. So these are the boxes. So it's not the end of the world that these are the only boxes. They can be squeezed into some upper boxes. There can be more boxes. And there can be relationships between those. So we can come up with our own canvas. But it's, I think I like these, you know, models and frameworks. They give us a better idea how to look at the complicated life realities, which is in our case is the opportunity exploitation. But based on all this, is it clear? Okay. So based on all this, you know, conversation, what we have done until now, the idea was very simple. The objective of the today's session was very simple. To enable you to understand some earlier concepts, then enable you to understand what is opportunity exploitation, and then discussing one particular type of, only one particular type of opportunity exploitation, that was creation of a new organization. And that we have done with the help of the business model canvas, but there are other frameworks also which can also help us to understand organizational design. If you want to learn more about organizational design, we have a complete course of organizational design, which I teach. And there are a couple of students who will be watching my recorded lecture. They were also in that course. And it may be some parts of this lecture I have taken from there, from that session. So there we have full course. We discuss and we have activities around that. But I hope all it makes sense. So with that, we can do this small exercise and then we will end our session. So, okay, not thank you yet. So this is the one. You can, it's the same case study, what we discussed earlier. At the start of the session, you listed down some of the activities. Now let's do it again. You open this link now, and then we see what is there. And now try to fill this this sheet again. But this is a different sheet. Now what you need to do is, these are 9 components of business model canvas. And same case study. That person, Adil, selling that idea, that product, want to go further. What do you think about these 9 components? What, in your opinion, are the target customers? What is the value? What Adil and his co-founder is proposing? What channels they should use? How should they maintain customer relationships? Just brief answer. No, not details. Just to give you an idea that whether that business model canvas help us in the practical life realities. That's great. So all of you agree that customer segment is very clear. So we know that farmers are the customers. Now we need to dig deep. Who are farmers? What is their requirement? What is the problem? I think you have done completed most of the components. That's excellent. And I like the answers now in the boxes now. Maybe last reflection from any one of you. Like how you feel about this business model canvas, like at the start of the session when you are looking at the same case study, and now after the session when with the help of the business model canvas you are looking at the same case study. Do you feel a bit more organized, having, you know, bit better way to look at the reality? If you want to know more, then I would definitely appreciate and encourage all of you to look at the frameworks, the other frameworks, not now, but maybe after the course, when you want to do some business, they will be some helpful tools for you to make that business happen or to create an organization, because different frameworks, they help us understand different elements of the business. So with that, thanks a lot for your time. I have given all these references, but please, whenever I give these references, these scientific references, you are not required to read those references. They are optional, because I don't expect, it's a basics level course, so I don't really expect any one of you to go, you know, too deep into that. And then I have listed some of the important websites which are related to some of these approaches, which you can scroll and go through later on. So with that, I think we have completed our today's session, which was about opportunity exploitation. On Wednesday, we will have our next session, and that will be a guest speaker from China. But with that, again, I will simply ask six of you who are here, if I just share that guest speaker previous session, will that work for six of you? Just yes or no. So I can get a better idea of, like, you know, what's gonna come. So for all of you is fine, because that will be same lecture. It was recorded. It may be slightly, you know, different, but there may be some questions from the students from the previous session. But overall, it covered the content, and then I can also share the slides. But I need to discuss it with some of my senior colleagues. What are the possibilities, administrative possibilities around it? But again, thanks a lot. Happy Vappu, and enjoy the summertime, coming summertime in Finland.